This is going to be an amazing teaching that's been prepared for us. As you guys know, our speaker today is Robert Capon, and he's prepared a teaching for us. Here he is. There is my brother. All right. Let's give him a hand, guys. All right. What's up, brother? So just tell you just a little bit about him. I don't want to spoil too much, but this brother is a beloved part of this body. This is Robert Capon, and he is married to Nellie Capon, who is helping set up, got here this morning to help serve you men. So they've been married for 10 years, no kids, but they have two baby dogs, Luna and Pepper. That's their kids there. He has been part of the Young Life program for several years. He was a Young Life student, then became a Young Life leader, and now serves on the Young Life committee. But one of my favorite things about Robert is that he's an Angel fan. So far, counting me and Robert, there's two of us. this brother, ask to see his tattoo, his angel tattoo, if you catch him out there. There it is. Look at that. Yes, angels, man. It's been a rough couple decades. they've called this church home for about a year and a half, close to 2 years now. And he is the author of a book called Capon, Yells of a Quiet Young Man. And that's the book there. We're going to just get to know a little bit about him today, but I believe that's just barely scraping the surface. If you really want to hear about his life, his thoughts, and his journey, I really encourage you guys, download that book, order it on Amazon. He did have them ordered, but they weren't going to get here on time. So this is the next best thing, technology. Take a picture of that QR code, and let's get those books ordered. You already got it? All right, so we know it works. He is writing a second book right now, so we'll be looking for that one. And he's prepared a teaching this morning for us ahead of time. And Pastor Rob, if I could welcome Pastor Rob up, he's going to be reading this teaching from us. Then we're going to follow this with a time of questions and just a couple questions. And then we're going to, like I said, we're going to have table talk, and we'd like to really see, like, what does this mean to us? How do we apply this, these things we're taught this morning to our lives when we leave this building? So, anyhow. Okay. Yep, got it. Okay, so I'm going to pass it off to Pastor Rob.
Morning, guys. Morning, Robert. Just wanted to sit with my friend here rather than stand. Let me give my own little introduction to Robert as well. I met him pretty quickly when he first started coming here and coming to the men's group a couple years ago. And as many of you know, I meet one-on-one with lots of guys for discipleship. And so I reached out to Robert and to see if that would work. Most guys come to the church. It was a little hard for Robert to do that. So I said, I'll go to your house. And it's been one of those relationships now, meeting almost every Friday for the last year and a half, where, you know, you reach out and you think, oh, how can I bless someone? But man, you're the one that gets blessed. Every time I walk into that house, it's a house of blessing. I particularly like Luna, of the two dogs. She and I relate really well. But I've read Robert's book as well, and many times I've been counseling with people that just can't seem to find any joy in their Christian walk, and I'll meet a few times and try, and find. Sometimes I just say, you know what, I can't help you, read my friend's book, and you'd be amazed how that changes people's lives, the perspective Robert has. I've been blessed to go through every chapter of his new book with him and talk it through and work on it a little bit with him. So it's going to be a really neat book when it comes out. So I encourage you all to be on the lookout for that. Robert has a few photos he wanted to have shared of himself, both before, during, and after his ordeal, which will be explained a little bit more in what I read. So do you want to put those up, Micah, if we could? This is Robert at age 21, 20, 23, mountain biking. Everything seems fine. He's part of Young Life at that time. And then after what happened to him, this is Robert in the hospital where he spent many, many months. And again, we'll go into that more. And then lastly, that's Robert and Ellie in Peru recently. So it's they were on our Peru trip. So I don't want to say any more. I just want to be his mouthpiece so he can be a mouthpiece to all of us for the Lord. I've gone through this several times, broken down crying a few times, so forgive me if that happens, but let's see. Hi, I'm Robert Capon, as previously introduced. One day, Pastor Rob called me out of the blue and proposed that I be the speaker for this month's men's breakfast. I was hesitant because being a speaker comes with many barriers. Speaking of barriers, I can't speak. I had to type everything so Rob could speak for me. Hopefully you don't get confused when I reference Rob in the message. Before I began writing, Rob gave me a prompt to talk about what I've learned through my life-altering trial and to be obedient when the Holy Spirit speaks. So I said yes. I also learned from Gil that if I say no to God at first, he will make me lead a Bible study, and I'm not ready for that. Robert has a great sense of humor. Please feel free to come say hi and give me a fist bump when you see me around church. I know it might be scary to approach me when you don't know exactly what happened to me. So for insider info, my primary means of communications are typing on my phone and bugging my translator, my wife Nellie. I honestly don't praise her enough because I expect perfection when she speaks for me, but she has to first understand what I'm saying. Then, while dealing with all the other commotion, reiterate everything I just said when it's the right time. If you see me and I don't speak to you, but I look like I want to, I'm looking for my phone, or more likely Nellie, so that I can talk. Before we get into what happened to me and what I learned through it, I want to say that losing my voice is the worst thing that came out of what happened. I love talking. Ask my wife. My top three things to talk about in order: God, myself, and sports. The reason I don't talk about Nellie a lot is that we are usually attached at the hip, and she is most likely speaking for me. Examples of the other three are, look how awesome God is. Or let me tell you how my trip to Peru was. Or wasn't the angel sweep of the Dodgers great? Yes. Yes, as you can tell, I'm not a Dodgers fan, and I have heard all the reasons why I should be one. But I digress, because God is greater than the ups and downs of a meaningless baseball season. Now, I understand what got me through this life-altering trial, but what do I teach you guys? I've been praying over the last couple of weeks for God to give me things that could be applicable to you guys. We all share a common theme: trials. David Guzik said, if we are in a trial, it would benefit us to look at God. So focusing on God is what continues to help me get through this trial. We also need to remember that we have a God who can sympathize with our trials because he endured the greatest trial of them all. So here are a couple of ideas that the Spirit has led me to share with, and I hope they help you in your future trials. So now, Robert, what happened to you? Imagine it's the summer before your senior year of college. You have your whole life ahead of you. Then in the blink of an eye, everything you know is taken away. That's what happened to me. It took half a week to turn my life upside down, and I was left to figure out how to live a new life. Luckily, I found God through Young Life years before that. So devastating as it was, I understood that there was still hope and a firm foundation holding me up in that time. I couldn't imagine going through this solo. I kept hearing, if I were in your shoes, I don't know how I would make it through. While discouraging for me to hear, but at the same time, I would be screaming in my head, it's because of God. It all started when one morning I woke up with a weird sensation of numbness shooting down my side. The following week, I was fully paralyzed from the neck down, with slim odds of making it because they had put me in a coma. All the while, the doctors were perplexed by what was happening to me. Looking back, I see that the God of peace was holding me because in the severity of the situation, I remained calm. Today, doctors still don't fully know what happened, other than providing me with a general diagnosis. They tell me an unknown virus had attacked the brainstem, causing a stroke at 23 years old. How many 23-year-olds do you know who have had a stroke? That's okay, because the first lesson God showed me is found in Ecclesiastes. A repeating theme in the book is that there is nothing new under the sun. I will tie this in later, but we men should talk to each other about life because there's nothing that we are dealing with that hasn't already happened to somebody else. God is still on the throne, and he has already overcome all the unique issues that we think only we are dealing with. I recently started going through the book of Joshua. It reminded me that a big part of my journey was to remember. I would constantly get discouraged during my journey because I would see no progress and get angry at the plateau. That was a case of having the wrong perspective, because if I looked at the totality of my journey, God has brought me a long way. Joshua 4:3 says, God commanded that they take 12 stones from here out of the midst of the Jordan, from the very place where the priest's feet stood firmly, and bring them over with you and lay them down in the place where you lodge tonight. These stones were called Ebenezers, and it was a symbol to remind the Israelites that God had brought them through impossible odds. God shows up a couple of times in the Old Testament and says, take up stones to remember my goodness. Also use them to talk about God's faithfulness to the younger generations. We need them to remember when God came through during our trials, because we can keep track of his faithfulness and goodness. They are faith builders. Now, if you asked me, how is God working in your life? I could give you some significant milestone moments from the past 15 years. But I would forget most of the day-to-day things. My journey began 14 years ago. I was paralyzed and could only blink to communicate. I spent 6 months in various hospitals and rehabs trying to regain function. Look at me now. Nellie and I have been married for 10 years. I just went back to school for my bachelor's in English. I published one book with the hopes of publishing a second one next year. And I can eat and drink now, whereas before I relied on a feeding tube for nutrients. God has accomplished some truly remarkable things in my life that are noteworthy. In many ways, I've dropped the ball because I don't write them down when God moved in my life and forget the many things he has done. So I miss out on giving him the glory he deserves for all the good he has done in my day-to-day life. Remembering when God moved in our lives is for our benefit. So next time during a trial, pull out your Ebenezer stones and be reminded of how God's faithfulness and goodness got you through that difficult time before. It should give us strength, confidence, hope, and comfort that if he did it before, he can do it again. My challenge for everyone is to get a journal. Start a folder in your computer or open up the Notes app on your phone. Try writing one way God was faithful to you or one thing that you saw God working in that day. You can start small, like I forgot my lunch, but work had a party that day and catered it. Or your kid finally got over the cold they've been struggling with for weeks. Or I passed a test that I thought I had failed. As you search for God's goodness, the easier it is to find him. Then you can write down more Ebenezers to go deeper with what you write about. Stick to his faithfulness and goodness, because if we only look for the bad, I can attest we will only become more cynical and pessimistic. We need to remember his faithfulness, not our failures. It's only when we note how faithful God has been that we truly see he has been more faithful and good than we ever give him credit for. This is a point we can all benefit from. I learned through my trial the importance of community. Besides God, I made it through because people helped me with their time, encouragement, wisdom, and resources. Here are two verses that stand out to me when I think of community. Hebrews 10:24 and 25 tell us, And let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another. Galatians 6:2 says, bear one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. It's a reminder to share what God has been doing in our lives with other men. Express your wins and your losses. Ask for help when you are struggling, and get encouragement to keep pushing forward. If we don't take the first step, we lose out on so much. I'm not saying God needs our actions, our action to act, because Isaiah 64:6 tells us our actions are actually like filthy rags or polluted garments to God. What I'm saying is that if we genuinely believe what we say about God, our actions in little steps of obedience will demonstrate that. For example, we go back to the book of Joshua. We see that the Jordan River didn't part until the Israelites dipped their feet in the water. Joshua 3:15 and 17 says, and as soon as those bearing the ark had come as far as the Jordan, and the feet of the priests bearing the ark were dipped in the brink of the water, now the Jordan overflows all its banks throughout the time of harvest. Now the priests bearing the ark of the covenant of the Lord stood firmly on dry ground in the midst of the Jordan, and all Israel was passing over on dry ground until all the nation finished passing over the Jordan. So we need to take some initiative to speak up and share, because the church can't fulfill a need you don't express. We are to encourage each other when we come together. For the older or experienced men, use the wisdom you gained from a previous time to speak into a younger man's life, and don't neglect to share God's word. My next point is that God is always speaking through his word. I don't know how it works, but God's timing is perfect and his words are always on a mission. At the height of my depression, God opened my eyes to a verse. It has since become my life verse. We begin in John 9, which tells the story of a man who was born blind. Then in John 9:3, Jesus says, it was not that this man sinned or his parents, but that the works of God might be displayed in him. All the weight, emotions, and depression melted right off my shoulders. When I read that verse, it finally hit me. This is the answer to my tearful nights of crying out, why, God? He gently answered me like Job. This is my paraphrase, but God said, who are you? Where were you when I created the earth? This didn't happen to you because you did something wrong. This happened to bring glory to my name. Eventually, when I humbled myself, I realized I didn't have to carry all the weight of my situation alone. God was already holding it without a sweat, and he doesn't need any my help. During the men's events at CCPV, Bible verses are constantly being shared, and that's why I think timely verses in community can be shared. When we come together and share different verses, one of them will most likely speak to someone, and it is an excellent way to hear from God. As we go through something, maybe a verse that was shared is an answer to a question you've been asking yourself for weeks. On the other hand, we don't have to attend men's events only because we're struggling in the desert, and we hope that God will speak to us. Attend so that God can use you to bless someone else. He might want you there because he has something important to say, and he wants you to be his mouthpiece. Imagine if we came together just to give one another something rather than taking something away. To drive this point home, I want to share a couple of things the Word says about itself and show you why the verses said during the times we meet can be so good and beneficial. The first verse is Psalm 19, 7 and 8. It says, the law of the Lord is perfect, reviving the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The precepts of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. There are no flaws in it. Even during trials, it speaks abundant life into us. The Bible always points to God, enduring trials, that's where we need to go, back to the Father's arms. The words in it can be simple for those who need them, but it can be wiser than all of man's wisdom. The word is just, good, and fruitful to those who follow it. They are encouraging and bring us joy. There's no perversion in it other than to describe sin. It opens our eyes to what God wants to show us. Continuing 2 Timothy 3:16, it says, all scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness. When we come together as men, we should use God's word to teach one another. We can use verses to show each other how to overcome difficult trials in life. You can reprove people or keep them accountable. If you see a brother going off the tracks, don't just grab a bag of popcorn and watch the train wreck. Lovingly use scripture in the proper context to call them back to the tracks that lead to God. You can use verses to guide a person after they've made a mistake, helping them correct the situation. Lastly, you can use verses to show them how to live like Christ, adding in the action of Hebrews 10, 24, and 25 to stir up good works and encourage one another. Isaiah 55, 11, it says, so shall my word be that goes out from my mouth. It shall not return to me empty, but it shall accomplish that which I purpose and shall succeed in the thing for which I sent it. Before we decide to be obedient or not, God has already sent it on a mission, and it will accomplish its mission with or without us. But how exciting it is when God uses us to accomplish his mission. Like today, I'm sure Pastor Daniel or Pastor Rob could have shared an important message, but God had a word he wanted to share through me, a nonverbal, plain Joe. I hope I'm obedient with what I share, so you guys benefit from it. But how cool is that? I initially thought it was okay to be angry with God. I put it in my book, but people in the Holy Spirit have since corrected me. Anger is a sin, and God hates sin. When we are angry, there is no room for joy to exist, and God calls us to be joyful. It is a fruit of the Spirit. Anger is basically a form of pride. It says you are mad because you didn't get your way. When Pastor Rob spoke about anger at the last men's breakfast, he mentioned the two different types, righteous and humanistic. We need righteous anger because it involves us getting angry at the things that God calls us to be angry at. However, be careful because it can lead us to act out of humanistic anger, which is a sin. I think in the midst of my trying to make sense of what had happened to me, I wrongly stated that it's okay to be mad at God. I was trying to convey in my book that it is human to feel anger during trials, but we can't get stuck there. In some of the Psalms, the writers begin with cries of anger, but end the chapter with humble admissions to how good God's ways are. I used to think that showing emotions towards God was a no-no, and God was going to smite me. He doesn't put you through a trial and then limit how much emotion you can let out. If God puts you through it, he can handle the reaction you have because of it. Anger also affects others. When I was at my darkest point, I told Nellie, who was my girlfriend at the time, leave God at the door when you come in. So confused, she started backing away from me so she didn't catch a stray from God's wrath on me. My anger led her to believe false ideas about God, like it's okay to be mad at God, but that's sin. God gave us another timely verse through a mentor friend. He stepped in and reassured Nellie, saying, if Robert has truly put his trust in God, then in John 10, 28, Jesus tells us, my Father who has given them to me is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of the Father's hand. So know that no amount of sin will cause us to fall from God's grasp because it's ultimately him holding us. Moving on to my next point, God doesn't waste anything. He didn't disable me to then throw me away to be forgotten. The world tells you things like you're not good enough, you're too young, or you're useless. God says that we are beloved children. We are fearfully and wonderfully made, and we are chosen by Him, just to name a few. So I define my self-worth and identity by what He says. Like I said before, I'm here for a reason. I heard the quote, God uses what He puts you through. He disabled me, seemingly taking away everything. But now I have more than I could imagine. I find joy in sharing my story of what God did in my life with people who are going through a tough time because they know I experienced all the things that come from a big trial. Yes, it stinks that we had to go through a trial, but now we have wisdom and experience that can speak into the lives of people who are in a similar situation. When was the last time we thanked God for a trial? Even though they sting when we go through trials, we learn lessons God wants to teach us, and we can use that time to grab onto God tighter. Well, realistically, He already firmly has us. Now, that one painful trial is an opportunity to connect with that one outcast that no one sees and share God with him. The story you thought was useless, God is using it to bring Himself glory. In the beginning of trying to figure out what just happened to me after I became paralyzed, God used a sermon to give me a message. The sermon was called When Sparrows Fall by Britt Merrick. At the time, he was going through a tough trial because his daughter was dealing with cancer. In his message, he reminded me that two sparrows were sold for a penny in Matthew 10, 29 to 31, where Jesus says, "Are not two sparrows sold for a penny? And not one of them will fall to the ground apart from your Father. But even the hairs of your head are all numbered. Fear not, therefore, you are of more value than many sparrows." My life doesn't have any more or less value because of what I can offer people. My life has value because I'm a child of God. The message spoke to me again later, this time under unfortunate circumstances. His daughter eventually passed away. That moment taught me that just because we pray for a trial doesn't mean God is obligated to take it away. He never promised that. He does promise that when we are in a trial, it will not defeat us. Isaiah 43:2 says, "When you pass through the waters, I will be with you, and through the rivers, they shall not overwhelm you. When you walk through fire, you shall not be burned, and the flame shall not consume you." To tie it back to my point, God will then use your story to bless someone else. Britt's pain led me, and I'm sure many others, to find a way through our own trials. My hope is that my pain helps you through your trial, or even helps you avoid it. Good news, God has a plan for each one of us. It's a good and beneficial one if we continue to trust in Him. Even if that plan involves us going through a tough trial, the story He has for us is ultimately His story told through us. He uses trials as a way to help us put our faith back in Him. When things are getting dark and the winds and the waves are getting rough, I want you to think of a lighthouse. He is the light in our darkness, guiding us through times when we can't see what's ahead. When the winds and waves are getting rough, He is the firm foundation we stand on for balance. Everything else might as well be eroding sand because it will wash away and eventually let you down. That's why during trials, we need to hold on tighter to God because His track record shows us He has the power to get us through. My takeaway today, we have an amazing network of men who have all had different experiences, wisdom, and backgrounds in this church. There's nothing that you're going through that another man hasn't already gone through or experienced something similar. They can offer you wisdom or a different perspective to help you. Remember, there's nothing new under the sun. If we openly share our struggles and needs, we can better support one another and in turn help our community. I want to end with the first thing I learned when I got sick. Life is short, and we are not promised tomorrow. The world is not heaven, so sin still runs rampant. Bad things happen to everyone. We will all die one day. Death is batting 1,000% on what eventually happens to a person. Romans 11:8 does give us an option, though. It says, if the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his spirit who dwells in you. If we accept God into our hearts, the one who has the power to raise Jesus from the dead will use that power to raise us also. This should give us peace and make us not worry about tomorrow, because the worst thing that can happen to someone who has God is that they die. Then once they die, they just go hang out with the Father in heaven for all eternity. I realize that some of you might have come today for free coffee and not to hear about God, but you heard my story and realized how easy and quick life can turn upside down. It just hit you that tomorrow is not promised, and you genuinely fear the unknown of what happens to you after you die. Today you heard that his word is perfect, that he is bigger than our problems, and that he doesn't throw us away no matter what trials we've gone through. You want his comfort, power, peace, and goodness. So take the first step of obedience and ask him into your heart. Then follow it up with the next step and tell someone at your table so they can help guide you on the path with Christ. This life is hard. Start building your community so they can help, guide, and encourage you on this journey. Amen.